The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to SoCal Live. I am your host, comedian Nazareth. Thank you so much for joining us. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to have a great time. We're going to interview great people that will really help you. I mean that they will really help you. So welcome, Los Angeles and San Diego, the worst two traffic places in the country. So if you're driving in LA, I want you to know one thing. We owe it to people to not only number our freeways, but name them. So people know what they're getting into. You know, oh, you want to get to Los Angeles. Oh, you take the excruciating pain freeway going west for about 20 miles, make a right on the Pothole Galore Freeway for about 10 miles towards Long Beach. Then you make a left on I Know I'm Not Going to Make It On Time Freeway. And if you want to save some time, you get onto I'm Going to Suck All Your Money Express Lane and save a minute. But no, so I know how you feel, listeners. I am, again, comedian Nazareth, and it's so good to be with you guys. This is God's timing because the guest I want to have this first hour, something happened, so I got the best guest you can have for this hour. This is really going to help you. He's a good friend of mine. Dr. Riad is considered one of the leading experts and physician inventors in the field of healthcare-related infections and infectious diseases. See, you can now you're listening. A distinguished chairman and an endowed distinguished professor of medicine, Dr. Riad chaired the University of Texas MD Anderson. Yes. MD Anderson Department of Infectious Diseases, Infectious Control, and Employee Health for 21 years. No, it's not Dr. Fauci. Another one that finally we get to hear from a different infectious disease physician. Over the last two decades, Dr. Riad has been widely honored for creative research, compassionate patient care, and outstanding teaching and mentorship with more than 25 prestigious national and international awards. Dr. Riad has published over 500 scientific articles in high-impact peer-reviewed journals and over 35 book chapters. Dr. Riad's studies have been heavily cited, and he ranks in the upper 1% of physician inventors at MD Anderson in terms of patent productivity, with more than 80 issued patents and more than 90 provisional patents. Other than that, in 1989, Dr. Riad and several Bible-believing physicians, those are hard to find nowadays, met during a conference in Washington, D.C. and founded the Ministry of Home, a Christian interdenominational organization that exists to offer physical and spiritual healing to people in need in the Middle East. Dr. Riad, serving as the president, has led Home to a lasting commitment to sharing the healing grace of Christ and bringing the good news to every Arab around the world. Home sponsored more than 17 clinics, mobile medical units, and hospitals in 10 Arab countries. Currently, Home is in the process of establishing a teaching hospital in Cairo, Egypt. On top of that, Dr. Riad is the founding and senior pastor of the Arabic Church in Houston over the last 25 years. And Dr. Riad resides in Houston, Texas, with his wife, three grown children, and four grandchildren. And I love this man. Dr. Riad, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Nether. Thank you. It's a privilege to be with you and with your audience.
It's so good to hear from another infectious disease other than the only Dr. Fauci we hear every day. Now, what's up with the variant? Are we going to get more variants other than the Delta? Are we going to get...
we have more than the Delta. We have the Mu and we have the... and a few others. We started with the Alpha variant, which was in the United Kingdom. And we went to the Beta, which came from South Africa, which is really the most dangerous. But in a way, we're thankful that it didn't spread much in North America and the U.S. So the worst one is the Beta, and then we have the Gamma, and actually Gamma was more in your area, Nazareth. But still, this one was reasonably handled. The Delta is now the predominant one. It came through India, but it remains responsive to the vaccine and its ability to prevent severe cases. So now the vaccines that are available, and now we have the Janssen, where they tried the second dose, the second shot, and the ones that are out there, the Moderna and the Pfizer, they would still give immunity against the Delta, which is now the predominant strain and the variant in the United States and Canada. They will give immunity against a severe form. So those who are vaccinated, the fully vaccinated, they could get the COVID. The chances are much lower than if not vaccinated. But the severity of the infection is much lower. It will act like a mild cold virus, and the degree of having severe disease, being hospitalized, God forbid, really succumbing to the disease is almost negligible. So now 99% of the people who develop severe COVID and get hospitalized, and those who really die of COVID, unfortunately, are unvaccinated. So so this is the advantage. And those who survive or actually get through a COVID infection would have antibodies and immune response against the includes the Delta, preventing a recurrence with a severe disease. So this is the outlook that we have at this point with the Delta.
Do you think, Doctor, like next year or by a year and a half from now, you think everything can be back to normal where we're not worried about the COVID thing? Or what do you think as an infectious disease physician?
Yeah, I mean, we had it's very difficult to predict, Nazareth. The challenge has been in the very beginning, we thought that once we have a good vaccine, it will become like the patterns we have with the flu virus, or many of the viral infections where you take a shot, the flu, like you take a shot every year, the influenza, N1, H1, and so forth. You take a shot every year and you protect yourself against severe disease. When we got the vaccine, it was more effective than the influenza vaccine because the efficacy really went to the early studies up to above 90%, whereas with the influenza, usually the efficacy is between 50 to 70% protection. Now, the Delta made it less efficacious, the vaccine, but still we remained above the 70% for all COVID and above 90% for severe disease. So we were hoping that somehow when we get more than 50% of the population, more than 60%, this would go away. I think one of the challenges with all COVID and all SARS-CoV-2 is that they widely spread. The efficiency of transmission and the ability to transmit from one person to the other is much higher than it is higher than influenza. Although the outcome is not worse than influenza, the total mortality is on the lower side. This is the surviving part, and this is why we continue to have this fourth wave in the summer of 2021, which was as bad in some of the places as the third wave in December 2020 and January 2021. So now it's difficult to predict. It doesn't follow a cold winter sort of versus the spring-summer variation that the influenza have. So it's not seasonal. It can come at any time, widely transmissible. Ultimately, I think we will get to a point where we can handle it. And now this is why it's being proposed for the elderly now to get the booster shot, the third sort of shot, if you may, the booster shot. And I think ultimately between herd immunity and the vaccine, we will be able to control it if we don't get more severe variants that the vaccine and natural immunity cannot handle.
You know, I love it that I'm talking to someone who's an infectious disease physician, because lately, or the last few years, everybody just have an opinion, and everybody from different people just maybe read an article. Now they're telling people this is good, this is bad, so it's coming from a professional like you, who that's your specialty for so many years, and you're also a professor at MD Anderson for this. I do a joke where I said when Jesus comes back, he's going to separate the sheep from the vaccinated. The joke is there's a lot of Christians who feel, you know what, this is not safe, or there is embryos in the vaccines. From your experience as a physician with that many patents and that many books about this, what is your thought on that?
I also want to give my opinion as a physician, a scientist, but also as a and as well as an IV expert, but on one side, but also as a Christian, as a committed Bible-believing Christian. We should really base our opinion more on facts and science, because the Lord has given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but as it says in 1 Timothy 1:7. But the spirit of love, power, and sound mind. And here all three of them go together. It's the spirit of Christ in us is the spirit of love, power, but also sound mind. And he can give us discernment, and we should be discerning. And I personally believe, based on the facts, and, mere facts rather than the, we should be driven by fear, but by other facts. The risk of complications from the vaccine are much lower than the risk of COVID. Now, there are two things about COVID. Yes, the mortality rate across the board, if you think about the cases around the world that are documented, and the mortality is around the risk of dying is around 2%. Mm-hmm. It could be lower because a lot of people might not have documented their infection, particularly if they had a mild disease. So it could be even lower than 1%. So this is understandable. Mm-hmm. The problem is we still are not 100% sure. We know that the elderly are high risk. The ones that have weak immunity are high risk also, such as cancer patients or transplant patients and so forth. And these are the highest risk people, or other comorbidities like diabetes and so forth, which is a big segment of the population if you consider diabetes and hypertension and others. But at the same time, in very young people or young people, even children and other entities, sometimes it's unpredictable why some people would develop COVID. They're young age, they're healthy, they have nothing in terms of immune suppression, and some people go south and do very poorly, and some people sort of make it. Although they are few, but still we can't get hold of it. Why some people have an hyperimmune reaction to the virus? So to put it all and sum it all, if you look at numbers and statistics, the risk of having severe disease, hospitalization, intubation, as well as mortality altogether from COVID way, way outweighs the risk of complications from the vaccine. And based on millions of people who were vaccinated, and we had good numbers, well-published data in Israel, in the United States, in many parts, but Israel has published one of the largest series, millions of cases in prestigious journals. The risk from the vaccine has been extremely low, and now we've been vaccinating for, now we're moving to more than 9 months, people having the full vaccination with big numbers. So whatever vaccine you're looking at, I mean, there's the mRNA vaccines and Pfizer, Moderna. Now we have the Janssen, and we have AstraZeneca. When you look at the complications, they're extremely rare. We're talking about between 4 to 12 per million, whereas these severe complications, and then the death is even lower. When you're looking at the death rate, you're talking about per 100. I mean, 1%, 1.5%, less maybe, some situations less. So the risk of really having severe disease with long-term comorbidities from COVID or dying is way higher. We're talking about a tenfold, hundredfold, even some situations thousandfold than getting the disease. Based on that, I got vaccinated. I advised my family and all God-fearing people to be vaccinated, and I advised my loved ones to be vaccinated.
Now, as a pastor, and I don't know when you have the time to be a pastor and still do what you do, but you've been pastoring a church in Houston for a while. Now, what do you tell your congregation who's, you know, because sometimes you feel some Christians are very animate about it. They're very upset about the idea that someone can take the vaccine or not take the vaccine. There's two groups of people. And what do you tell your members who said, well, this is not godly. You cannot take it. You shouldn't take it. What do you tell them?
Yeah, I think part of the sound mind and our respect to each other is we shouldn't force our decision on others. And thank God for the liberty we have in this country, but people are, they have their choices. And some of my members didn't take the vaccine and they don't want to take it. And I just explained my viewpoint without judging anyone. You see what I'm saying? For those who took the vaccine or those who didn't take the vaccine, it's their decision, and they're very special to me, and they're my family in Christ. When they ask me, I sort of give my viewpoint as a physician, but without condemning the other side, or whether they didn't take it or took it. And the reasons. It's very important in our circles that we don't allow this to be a source of division in our churches, but also a source of division in our communities. And we shouldn't use faith to either endorse it or deny it. I mean, it's very important because this is not our battle. Our battle is in the midst of COVID, is how we behave, how we look at people and how we deal with the suffering that is around us, which is a worldwide issue. Yeah. It should not divide us as a church. It should not divide us as a community. But also it should more compel us to, in these difficult times of COVID and all the economic problems we have and all the social problems we're having in our cities and communities, to be the men and women of hope and the men and women of true love and understanding towards people around us.
Now, I want to ask you one more question, then we're going to go for a break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about Dr. Riad, the Christian, how he came to Christ, how home, the ministry, the wonderful, great ministry that you are president of. We're going to talk about that. But just one question right now. Were you, as an infectious disease expert, as a professor, as someone at MD Anderson, were you guys expecting a worldwide pandemic to happen? Were you guys prepared for it?
Yeah, to be honest with you, one of the leaders, and he's here with the University of Texas, he surprised me in the around 4 months before COVID. He sort of predicted a big pandemic with an RNA virus. He didn't predict it's going to be SARS-CoV-2 or it's going to be coronavirus related, but he predicted in one of his lectures that based on the cycle of things, he predicts a pandemic. You know, it might have been over prediction, but it was a keynote lecture in the Infectious Disease Society of America. Dr. Bert DuPont, who's really, he's in the 80s now, he's one of the people who have retired, but he's our mentor in a way. I think some people have predicted that this is this could be coming. The way the whole world has become, the intensity of globalization, and the whole world has become one village. So when an outbreak starts in a certain place, it easily spreads. And there are no walls that could protect it. And what started in China, irrespective of how it started and whether there is a man-made impact on it or otherwise, but it easily spreads. And with this type of virus, which is highly transmissible, then, you know, it hit and easily became a pandemic, which we cannot control in a way very easily.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, we are speaking with Dr. Issam Raed, who is the infectious disease physician and distinguished chairman and distinguished professor of medicine at MD Anderson in Houston, Texas. And when we come back, we'll be talking about his walk as a believer in Christ, also the ministry of home, which is a health organization for the Middle East, and the work that they do over there. And I really appreciate the fact that, you know what, we as Christians should focus more right now, reaching those scared people of the COVID rather than arguing sometimes and trying to push our own opinion, what we think. So really, this is Comedian Nazareth, and we will be right back after those messages that pays the bills for the radio station to be here. I'm your host, Comedian Nazareth. Will be back with Dr. Raed in a few minutes. Hello, hello, hello again. This is Comedian Nazareth, your co-host for SoCal Life. SoCal Live on KKLA and KPRZ. So right now San Diego and Los Angeles are listening to us. And in the last segment, I was speaking to Dr. Issam Raed from MD Anderson, infectious diseases physician. And we were talking about COVID, and we're talking about the vaccine, and we're talking about all that. But right now, I want to get to the humanity part of Dr. Raed. He is a pastor. He's a wonderful man. When you're with him, you feel his love for people. And part of what he did in 1989 with several other believing Christian born-again physicians, they founded the Ministry of Home, which is health outreach to the Middle East. And it's a Christian interdenominational organization to offer physical and spiritual healing to people in need in the Middle East. They help build hospitals. They help train physicians. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to reach people for Jesus with the love of Jesus and the healing touch of Jesus. So, Dr. Raed, welcome back. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Tell us, first of all, I know you're from Lebanon originally. You're born in Lebanon. And Lebanon's been going through a lot of hard times, and just because it's not in the news now, we're talking about Afghanistan and Haiti, Lebanon's still having a hard time and hurting. What's your take on that? And also I want to hear about how did you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Sure, yeah. My heart goes out to Lebanon. I was born in Lebanon. Maybe I can start with the second part, I came to know Christ, because I knew Christ in Lebanon. Lebanon is in the Middle East, is the only country where the president has to be Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not necessarily Bible-believing Christian, but at least from Christian background. And it's unique, because it's the only country in the whole Middle East where the president has to be Christian. Mm-hmm. We have our constitution that way. And continues to be the head of the army, has to be Christian, the head of the police. So it's a unique country. But in the 70s, in the early 70s, a great turmoil in the country has taken place, and then the whole country plunged into a civil war in 1975. At that point, I was a college student. I come from Christian background, and I was confused at that point in my life. Unfortunately, we had a beautiful country. It used to be known as the Switzerland of the Middle East.
Right.
But like many places, we had some element of a democratic system. We elect our members of parliament and so on. But the situation was so divided ethnically and also religiously and all that kind of thing. And it was house divided. But in the midst of this, and remember the early 70s, like we had here in the United States, there was the student movement and a lot of ideas about the young people had the great dreams for a better society. And I was among those. I was in my freshman, sophomore year at the American University in Beirut, and we had great ideas that how we can have a society that is free of corruption, that there is equality among all people. And so maybe some of the young people kind of listening to me, they would sort of appreciate how at a young age you really want to change the world. And it is legit. But you find that there is something broken in your society and in the world, and you think you can change it. I remember as a young student, college student, we were out in the streets and we were sort of in a demonstration and talking about corruption, protesting that. And we started all sort of moving our fists upward and asking freedom, freedom, freedom. And then a voice sort of talked to my heart. I was very sincere then. And I got the question deep inside, are you free? And that kind of coming from unconscious, I'm sure the Lord had something to do with it. Are you free? And well, I said, well, I want a society free of corruption. I'm sure I'm free. And as if that kind of voice coming to me, are you free from corruption? Is your life, is the secret part of your life, the inner part of your life, is there a complete kind of lack of corruption? Do you lie? Are you a man of 100% integrity and purity and all this idealism? So I struggled with that kind of thought. I was looking for an ideology which kind of would give me the true sense of freedom, where I can lead by example, and in my own life would be a free person before I ask to change the society and the government. And I really was searching until I met a friend of mine who was a Palestinian Bible-believing Christian, and he shared the gospel with me. And he gave me the New Testament. And he said, I told him, well, this is religion, and it's old-fashioned, and why do I need it? But he said, look, have you read the New Testament? Have you read the Bible? And I said, no, I'm from Christian background. Why do I need to read it? And I don't want religion. So he said, no, this is more than religion. This is a life-changing work, and Christ is the one who can free people indeed. And I was invited to a meeting for Youth for Christ, and I remember when I went in, and they were singing, and they were showing slides from the Bible, and one of the first verses that hit me, strike me, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then of a sudden I asked, what is truth? He asked the same question that Pilate asked. And then the verse came in, if the Son would set you free, then you are free indeed. Amen. I am the truth, the way, and the life. So this is how I realized. And then I went back to that person. I went to one of the church meetings, and there was the message of salvation. I accepted Christ at that point as a personal Savior. It made such a big difference in my life, where change came from within, and changed my character, it changed my whole perspective to life. And this was 1 year before the Civil War started. Soon after the Civil War started, I was a pre-med student, came a year or two in the United States, went back, And I realized the Lord is calling me to be a physician after his own heart, a man after his own heart, where I have to live my faith and live it by love and be a reconciling figure in that part of the world. I know the language very well. I know the Arabic language. But like my Savior, I want to reach to all people and say, my Savior can heal you from inside out. We have a major disorder in our internal being, which is a sort of a corrupt nature, selfish, aggressive, and lustful. And the Lord can fix that, can do a heart transplant, spiritual heart transplant, for each and every one of them, us, and keep treating us from inside out so that we, our inner life would be pure, and also our outer life, it would reflect on our outer life in a Christ-like behavior. I think this is what was a climax thing. And my heart goes out not only to Lebanon, but all the people who speak that language, the Arabic language, in the whole Arab world, and say, Christ is more, Christianity is more than a religion, and Christ loves all people, irrespective of race, religious background, or ethnicity. He loves all people, and he wants to change your heart, and he wants to fulfill your heart, and he wants to change you from inside out. Christ is our healer, our Savior, and the one who is the great physician who can do the heart transplant.
Amen, amen. This is Comedian Nazareth, and you're listening to SoCal Live, and this is Dr. Issam Riad. He's an infectious disease physician at MD Anderson. We're talking about his faith, how he came to Christ. And now in the next 2 minutes, we're talking about home, the health outreach in the Middle East, how he started, he's the president of. And then in those 2 minutes, he'll tell us how they can, you can support that and how you can reach to him that way. Go ahead, doctor.
Yes. So this is how I came to know Christ, and I started growing Christ. Then when I went to med school, I felt the Lord is more leading me to reach to my own people, and to reach to all people who are in my circles, but to reach that part of the world that misunderstood Christ, who he is. And he thinks that Christianity is just a religion, and somebody has another religion. Christianity is Christ in us, who would change our hearts, our lives, from inside, and he would... He would kind of change you, your mindset, to be a free person, to be a healed person. Mm-hmm. The heart of reformation is the reformation of the heart. This is what I believe, and this is what the Bible teaches.
Amen. How can people get a hold of home? How can be supportive? Someone who's listening, say, this is my heart. My heart is the Middle East, you know, either Egypt or Iraq or wherever. How can they help? How can they know more about home ministry?
Yes. Maybe they can go to our website, Home for Him. Home, and then F-O-R, for Him. Him meaning Christ, .org. And this ministry is a group of physicians and nurses. Some of them have never, they're not born in the Middle East. Some of them are just born and raised in this country. Mm-hmm. And some of us are from the Middle East. But we have a heart to reach out through, to be the healing hand of the great physician.
Amen.
In that part of the world.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Riad. Thank you for your heart, your love, and what you're doing with the infectious diseases as a physician. This is SoCal Live, and this is Comedian Nazareth, and we'll be right back with you. So thank you. Hello, 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 and welcome back to SoCal Live on KKLA and KPRZ. This is Comedian Nazareth, your host for today, and we were speaking to Dr. Issam Riad, who's an infectious disease physician at MD Anderson. Also, he's a pastor of a church in Houston the last 25 years, and also he's the president of HOME, which is Health outreach to the Middle East. And in the next few minutes, he's going to tell us more about home, and then we'll talk more. So here you go. Dr. Ra, thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead. Tell us more about home.
Thank you, Nazareth. I mean, home is basically a group of healthcare workers, physicians, and nurses who are Bible-believing. They're born of the Spirit of Christ. In the Middle East, from various Arab countries, and supported here by a group of Christ-centered physicians and nurses, as well as healthcare workers, people in the health field in the United States, where we have like a total of 17 clinics, including 8 or 9 mobile clinics in the whole Middle East, in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, West Bank. We have now Egypt mobile units, and as well as hospitals in the whole Arab world. And what we're doing, we have several hospitals now, 4 that we sponsor, and at the same time, we're building now our new hospital in Egypt, which is going to be our big center for training and medical mission training. The main idea is to follow the footsteps of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be an instrument of healing. We want to be his healing hand in the Middle East, where we reach to people one heart at a time and tell them about the one who loves them and loves them unto death, irrespective of their religious background or ethnicity, and tell them that he can heal the spirit, soul, and this is the message we bring. We, in one hand, we carry the medications and medicines and the biologic cure, and the other one we carry the spiritual, eternal cure. And so our motto is to share reach the suffering, and there's a lot of suffering in the Middle East, a lot of wars, a lot of turmoil, a lot of atrocities, a lot of savagery with ISIS and still the terrorism that's happening. But there is also a cure for all of this. It is in Christ Jesus, who would save and transform one heart at a time. This is the message of home. And if people are interested, whether they're in the medical field or not, they're just interested in being an instrument of healing in that most turbulent part of the world. Connect with us. Home for Him. H-O-M-E for Him. F-O-R-H-I-M .org. And we would be delighted if you can pray for us, if you can support us in prayer, if you can connect with us and be part of the great healing that you don't hear about it in the news, but it is taking place through the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. It's an amazing ministry. I had the pleasure to go to Houston and Dallas and do comedy for their gala and help raise money. So I want to encourage you, pray about it and support every dollar you give to that ministry. It is a nonprofit, and it will really go right away to the work over there. Because, you know, these are physicians. They make good income. They're not worried about taking any money from that ministry. But all the money goes towards helping physicians there and reaching with the love of Jesus Christ. Dr. Raya, thank you so much for taking your time. I know how busy you are, especially during this COVID time, and being a pastor of a church in Houston and also with home. So I really thank you for your time. I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, another.
God bless you. Bye bye. You are listening to SoCal Live on KKLA and KPRZ right now. In the next hour, we're going to have two guests. The first guest would be Dr. Mark Sheehan from Colorado. He's a cardiologist, and he wrote a book called The Healing Prayer on Holy Ground. Healing Prayer on Holy Ground. This moments when people are really in the last moments, he believes that it is a holy moment regardless of if you're an atheist or a believer, that the presence of God is there in that moment. After that, at 4:30 Pacific time, I'm going to have my friend Shonda Pierce, the comedian, the number one selling comedian, you know, mainstream and Christian, she is. And she's going to be with us at 4:30 until 5 o'clock. So really love joining. I just want to encourage you, you know, if you don't know who I am, I'm comedian Nazareth. I'm from the Middle East, but ever since September 11th, I feel so Mexican. And I believe in laughter. I was reading a study from Johns Hopkins University. This is a study that says laughter activates the immune system. Laughter decreases stress hormones. A long, hard laugh is like internal jogging. It gets the heart beating faster, brings in extra oxygen, and stimulates blood circulation. Your whole body relaxes and you feel better. See, a good laugh can help you see life from a different perspective and face our problems with renewed concentration and hope. A healthy laughter helps us to feel better, get along with others. Isn't that what we want in this COVID time? We want to get along with others. That's hard. And also, we want to have our immune system strengthened. And laughter can do that. Hell, we need to laugh more because it's good for you. Can a committed Christian laugh? Of course. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. Now, we wept enough. We need to laugh. And I believe that. I believe laughter is the language of today. And since I left the Hollywood clubs back in 1992, I use my comedy to really to bring laughter and healing to people. And I also end my concerts, when possible, with giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I started this ministry called Laughter for All, and our goal is to bring people to a stadium or an event or a church or a concert hall for free and then make them laugh for about an hour and a half, and at the end, I give the gospel invitation. They come to the field, all to the ground, and then there's local pastors who will follow up. I truly believe in the power of laughter to bring healing in, and I'm ready to partner with any pastor or church or organization or something that really want to bring that laughter. And the reason I say that is because Dr. Ride, even though he's a busy man as an infectious disease professor and physician at MD Anderson Cancer Center, a very busy place, but he still takes time to pastor a church, and he still takes time to really do the work of the Lord. And what are you doing with what you're gifted? Everyone, if you are listening right now, you have a gift better than others. You are gifted with something that you can do better. How are you using that to bring people to Christ? Now, I'm not going to take phone calls right now. If you want to know more, I have a show every night at 8:30 p.m. on Facebook called Live with Naz. We're on show number 345. We've been doing it every weeknight, 8:30 p.m. Pacific time, for an hour of just laughing. Laugh with people and at the end encourage them and give them Jesus. As we do that, we also have a podcast called The Laughter for All Podcast every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. So I do believe in laughter. If you want to reach out to us there, if you want to reach to me at NazarethUSA.com, just let me know. Let me know how you're using your gifting to encourage people and to bring Jesus to the equation, because that's what people need, really. They don't want to argue with you in this. They don't want to fight with you. They want to hear. They are afraid, and the love of Jesus can be reached to them, and laughter is a great tool to do that. So I just want to, I know some people are listening right now. You're still not there with the Lord. You haven't committed your life to Christ. And one time I was doing I'm doing prisons with Chuck Colson Ministry, a prison fellowship, and I was at a prison in Phoenix, Arizona, maximum security. And the warden, the president of the jail, said, "Naz, you're so funny, I want to invite you to see the death chamber." I said, "Of course, but you have to treat me as a dead man walking." So they bring 6 guards, they walk me into the death chamber, and they have this half-oval gas chamber where you can, if you were sentenced before 1988, you can choose the gas chamber. And there's only a seat in the middle. And they sat there and said, "You want to try it?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Okay, we're going to shut the door. In 2 minutes, the gas will start and you'll be gone." So they buckled me up because it's a law. So I sat in there. And you know, because in 1992 I gave my life to Christ, I wasn't worried where I'm going to go. But if you're sitting there and you know in 2 minutes you're going to die, what are you going to do? What are you going to think? You're not thinking about your mortgage, how people hurt your feelings, or you deserve a better job, or, you know, your loved ones that don't care about you. No, you think about where I'm going to go in this. And then they took me out and took me to that lethal injection bed, and they were explaining the thing to me, the medications. And the warden looks at me and goes, Nazareth, this is as close to death as you'll ever get. I said, no, I fly Southwest Airlines all the time. But the reason I share that, I looked to my left, there was a red phone. I said, what is that for? They said the president or the governor can pardon you. I said, really? They can. They said, yes. I said, what is this microphone on top of my mouth? He said, you have to accept the pardon. I said, what if I don't? They said, we execute you. Some of you heard the gospel message so many times, but you still have not accepted. You have to accept the gift of Jesus Christ that comes by grace through faith in him. Amen. We will be right back on SoCal Live. You're listening to SoCal Live on KKLA and KPRZ. We'll be back on KKLA, and I have two guests, Dr. Mark Sheehan, a cardiologist. He'll talk about your heart and also his book, and also comedian Shonda Pierce. So we'll be right back after these messages.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.